to the Into the Void podcast with your host, Sammy Starr. Step into the void.
All right, everybody. Welcome to another edition of Into the Void. I have a phenomenal guest on this episode today coming from Fixed. I'm going to let you introduce yourself.
Wow, phenomenal. Thank you for the compliment. What's up, everybody? High Society here, aka James. Yeah, thanks for having me.
No problem. I feel like there's lots to dig into here. A couple of new singles that you have out and even some other stuff, which I won't tap into until probably later on. But I know High Society fans will be really excited and stoked to see what we're going to talk about. I know this is probably a question that you normally get, which again, people can probably type in anything on Google and probably get this answer, but I think it's normally pretty cool to just get this answer straight from the artist. What made you want to pursue music in this genre and what makes you continue to do that?
My musical upbringing to how I got into like electronic music and what I'm making now is like really long. Like I started playing drums when I was like 8 years old. I don't really remember why. Like I was listening to like old, like new metal, like Korn and stuff like that. Old, like 30 Seconds to Mars. I really don't remember like where the initial inspiration to play music came from. Apparently when I was a baby, I used to like drum on stuff. So I don't know if it's just like partially just born with some kind of musical inclination, but
the music was in your veins even when you were small.
Yeah, like my mom told me that and I was like, that sounds like a lie, but I don't know. Apparently that's true. I actually had like kind of a whole first career in the rock world as a drummer. I started getting really serious like in high school and playing my first serious bands. And then in my like late teens, early 20s, I, you know, started like going on tour and I was making like a real run at the rock music industry. I didn't get super far. I mean, we had some cool moments in those bands and stuff like that, but like how I sort of ended up where I am now, I found that when I was playing in bands, especially as a drummer, you know, you're not like typically like the main songwriter. If you're the drummer, it's really kind of like at the mercy of the lead singer and like the lead songwriter guitar player. So I kept finding that I was super, super motivated and I was like wanting to push, push, push. I wasn't necessarily getting that same kind of energy from bandmates, or for one reason or another, like I just always kind of felt like things were dragging. The most successful band that I was in was called Hope for AM. We were like a pop punk with breakdowns kind of band.
That's super sick,
like
though.
4 Years Strong or Newfound Glory or something like that.
Nice.
Yeah, it was cool. Like the music was sick. You know, I thought we had a lot of potential. We played Warped Tour. That was like our peak. It was like we went on the Warped Tour. That was really fun. And then after that, like the band just kind of like fizzled out and died. Like I think, you know, some people in the band were just kind of like over it and wanted to like start their adult lives, quote unquote, or whatever. And I just was like, I can't keep banking everything on other people that I have like no real like influence or control over. So I was like, I'm just going to do a solo project. And I had never like written a song. I'd never produced any music or anything like that. I just bought like a very basic Pro Tools setup and just started like making these like dumb songs. And this was kind of around the same time that I started getting into electronic music, just like as a fan. So I was making really, really crappy ripoffs of my favorite like electronic artists. And so I started just learning how to write songs that way and actually wrote like the first two High Society EPs, which were sort of these like rock and electronic hybrid things where I was actually singing and then I would write all the music and we would play shows with like me singing, a guitar player, a guy doing the electronic stuff, and then like a live drummer. And that was kind of like the first rendition of High Society, but it was still like my kind of solo project. And then through that, I just started doing more producing, remixes, all that kind of stuff. And I started getting a lot of traction through doing that. And yeah, I mean, that was like 10 years ago. So I've just been going really hard on this like vision for a really long time. That's kind of how I ended up on the electronic solo side of things. Sort of funny now though, because my music is kind of evolving back into this like hybrid electronic rock thing again. I just like actually know how to write it this time. This vision that I had a long time ago is finally actually being realized.
No, I definitely see that through the progression of your music. And we're going to touch on how your music has evolved, because I think it's interesting. The key word here is evolved, right? We're going to talk about Datamosh, because I feel like I want to say that it's its own little universe, if I'm to be honest. Like this infectious kind of aggressive blend of electronic drum and bass, trap, and these metallic elements. But there's something very unique about what you do. Throughout your music career, like you continue to evolve and expand what this is. What fuels this growth and what continues you to make this category that you sort of manifested throughout your career?
Thank you, first of all, for bringing that up, because sort of spreading the like gospel of my whole Datamosh world and all of that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that I'm like actively trying to do. It's very intentional. I'm trying to sort of carve out a unique space somewhere in between electronic music and rock music. You know, where it comes from is it's very authentic and genuine. Like it's just it's a really true representation of what I can uniquely bring to music. Like I think it's an extension of my background in rock mixed with my more recent obsession with electronic music. And I think that a lot of what's going on in both of those genres is very uninteresting and like recycled, and it's just like following trends. And I'm really sort of trying to like go the other way and work really hard to make something that is unique and stands on its own and like ultimately is a representation of like what I, James, can like uniquely bring to art and music. It's really tempting sometimes, especially in electronic music. It's very, very driven by trends, like in terms of what subgenre is like popping off that year or whatever. And you see a lot of people that are just like chameleons that just switch their kind of sound and vibe to follow whatever trend it is that year. And it's tempting to do that because that's a pretty good way in the short term to make noise and make a name for yourself and get opportunities and stuff like that. But I resist the temptation to do that a lot because I feel like it's kind of short-sighted and it's like also dishonest in my opinion. And yeah, I mean, to your other point, like the whole Datamosh thing is like, I'm trying to build a universe that is bigger than just the songs themselves. It encompasses my whole visual brand with like my graphic design and my merchandise and like the live visuals that I have when I'm playing. It's really kind of in the beginning stages of where I see it going. I think I could see it expanding to like branded events, things like that, or like a hosting like a stage at a festival. That's all just to say that I appreciate that you acknowledge that. And I'm doing a lot of this sort of by design for sure. So yeah, hope that answers your question.
I do agree that a lot of times I think within the world of rock in the world, and even like you said, in electronic music, we kind of get placed into wanting to do things that are in the moment. And I think it's nice to do those things to stay ahead of the game, so to speak. But it's also nice to kind of check back with yourself and say, is this really me? And am I doing this for me? And I think that you consistently do that with your music or answer those questions by just being authentically yourself, whether you're teaming up with other artists or you're just doing stuff basically for your own merit or making your own music. I feel like you're just being authentically yourself. And I fully respect that from you as an artist.
I would add too, like it's funny from like a business side almost. If an artist positions themselves the way that I am, it's sort of like a disadvantage until it becomes an advantage. I have like a whole team that I work with that helps me book shows and all this different stuff. And a lot of the kind of like early feedback I got and a lot of the kind of work that we have been doing in the background to develop my artist career, it's sort of like all based around this funny dilemma where it's like, okay, your music's super sick, super unique, can't really compare it to anyone. But also it's like, we don't really know what to do with you. Like, we don't know where to put you or like what artists should you play shows with and stuff like that. Like, I just played a show in Phoenix, for example, a couple weeks ago, and it was me and then four other DJs, and they were all like 100% drum and bass. I sort of have drum and bass elements in my music,
right?
But like, I'm not like a hardcore drum and bass artist. So like, I was this kind of black sheep on the lineup, and I'll have other shows. Like, even when I headlined in Denver, the entire lineup below me was all just like super heavy dubstep, which is like also a part of my sound, but I wouldn't describe my music as like heavy dubstep. That it's like, it's much more nuanced and complex than that. I mean, I'm working on it every day to kind of figure out like, how do you like sell something that it's difficult for people to kind of connect the dots with, I think. Mm-hmm. Like, you can't say, he should open for this person, he sounds just like them, or whatever. Like that, right. There is no artist that I would say, this is the best artist for me to like tour with. It's kind of like I'm on this weird island by myself, but I also notice that the fan relationships that I have and like the audience that I've built is very, very strong and engaged, like relative to my audience size.
Mm-hmm.
Like in terms of how much merch I sell, for instance, I've heard from Fixed, who's my merch partner, that like relative to how big I am, quote unquote, like I sell way more merch than artists that are like 3, 4, 5 times as big as me. And I think that ultra dedicated fan base is a result of this kind of unique world that I've built. So it's sort of like a long play. If I keep growing, eventually it's going to become this really big advantage that I'm kind of like this weird left of center, doesn't quite fit anywhere artist.
I think it does work into your advantage because, you know, going into now the next question, you say you're in an island all by yourself, but I feel like this works to your advantage when you're working with other artists because your style has so many different types of genres within it that it allows you to work with not only just electronic artists, but it allows you to work with other artists in different genres as well. You got to work with Micah Martin in Going Under, which is your latest single. What was that creative process working together and how did that come about?
Micah's someone that I've been familiar with for quite a long time. I mean, I guess for anyone that's listening that doesn't know, he's a vocalist and he has sung on everyone's song that's like big in bass music. Like if you can think of a big bass music artist, like chances are they have a song with his vocals because he is just a beast and he has just created this really cool niche for himself with like this larger than life voice and personality. And I mean, he's like 6'6" also. So he's like literally just a gigantic person.
Wowzers.
Yeah. So like he's got something really special. And I had followed him for a long time because he had done vocals on a lot of tracks by artists I like. And when I started putting together this album process for Fixed, which is still pretty early stages, like the track with Mike is the second song from the album, he was like very high on my list of people to collaborate with because my whole thing was I want to collaborate with a bunch of artists that are like kind of rock leaning or have some kind of like alternative edge to them. So mm-hmm. I can really have this be like a statement about everything that we were talking about earlier. And Micah's actually like a former band guy. Also, I just hit him up and we had like a quick call. And like, all we talked about the whole time was like, which like metal bands we like. and stuff like that.
So that's so cool.
I was like, yeah, I have this kind of like thing cooking. It's like this rock EDM, whatever you call it, data mosh thing. And he got it. He understood like the vision. And yeah, he crushed that track. So shout out to Micah.
Definitely. I know you have two singles out now currently, which you say it's pretty still in early development. How would you say these creative processes are different from everything that you have worked on in the past, building up to this point right now in your career?
Yeah, it's definitely challenging. I have these two songs, the Micah one and then Burn with Craig from Escape the Fate. It's bringing in all of these live instruments because every song has like live guitars, live drums, tons of synths and electronic basses and electronic drums. And then it also has like full vocals, singing and screaming and all of that. So it's extremely delicate to balance all those things. And it's really, really challenging.
Of course.
From like a technical perspective, because a lot of the time, like, it's like a tiny, tiny shift from everything like locking in perfectly to everything like fighting with each other. Even on that Going Under song, you might not even be able to tell from just listening to it, but like the main kind of like guitar thing is like a real guitar and then two other bass synths squashed together to make this kind of like futuristic guitar sounding thing.
That is so like, awesome.
Just doing that element of it, I'm just sitting here for hours like, maybe the guitar should be like 2% more present or 2% more in the background. So the bass part is bigger and like all these synths flying around are like getting in the way of his vocals. But then I still want it to feel electronic. I don't want the synths to be too far in the back. And it's like, right, what do I do with the drums? Because I want to play it in a club. So it needs to have like big EDM drums. But then like that sounds weird with a guitar over it. So it's all these different things. That's something that actually fixed has helped me with quite a bit, especially having Cell Dweller at the helm of the label. He's pretty involved in the A&R process. And there's Dave, the A&R as well, who is an awesome producer in his own right. They are helping me sort of like navigate those with each new track. But we go through like 10 versions of everything. And yeah, I'm actually like just finishing up the third single, which is with Becco. That is super crazy as well. I think the Becco collab is honestly the most insane out of the three so far, because it's like all of those elements even more extreme. Like the electronic parts are even more ridiculous, and like the heavy metal parts are even more metal, and like it's just crazy. But
Becco is a visionary. Anything that he comes out with, like, I'm always amazed to see what comes out of that guy's brain.
Yeah, he was another one when I was putting the list together for this album. I was like, I need that dude, because he's just like, I feel like we're kind of like kindred spirits, because there's no artist I could ever compare him to. He's just like completely his own thing. That is the type of artist that I want to bring into this album thing. So it's like really unique. And yeah, the song is sick. It's just super crazy. Just working on it this morning, actually. So
I can't wait to hear this. This is going to be amazing. I feel like this is going to come out either way, but the upcoming album, can we talk about that a bit?
Yeah, I mean, we can definitely talk about it. There's not like a ton to share, but yeah, I'll tell you everything I know.
These couple of singles that we've gotten over the past couple of months have been just a taste of what we can expect. But I guess the main question is what can we expect moving forward with this album without giving too much away?
Each track is definitely going to sort of stand on its own, even inside of the container of the album. I mean, the general theme, it's really tied around collaboration and mashing up genres in a seamless way to make something totally new. So every song that's going to go on, it kind of has to check that box. Like, I do produce just like more kind of straight up electronic music still currently. And I release that stuff with other labels, and that will keep going. But for this particular project with Fixed, it's all about mashing up different genres. How crazy and big can we like expand this data mosh idea and universe? There's a couple other tracks that are in the works. Like I've got one that's like a lot more kind of melodic and almost like pop punk feeling in a way. You know, as I said at the beginning, that's definitely a part of my history. That's a collab with a band that I'm super good friends with called Protect Your Heart. They're from Southern California as well.
Nice. Okay.
And then I've got a couple other fixed artist collabs as well that are either very early stages or haven't started at all, but it's just like a line item on a list. Like we're going to do this for the album, but we don't even know what it's going to be yet. And I think there'll probably be one or two totally like instrumental tracks as well. Cause there's a few artists on Fix like Andromeda and Void Chapter that do like super sick instrumental music. And I think that would be something cool to try. I've never done like a totally instrumental track. And I think that we could do something really kind of cinematic and cool, kind of like video game music or film music type of vibe. But it's definitely going to be crazy. I mean, myself and Fix, like we're being very ruthlessly critical of everything that goes on here because it's kind of funny in a way. The data mosh thing is there's so many different things that you could do with it, but it's also like a very specific thing. Oh, you bring this track and it's like, that's not quite what it is. Even if you can't really put your finger on why, you're just like, that doesn't feel quite like it. So that's why I was saying it's a challenge because it's sort of like, they're not just like make 10 songs like everything you made before. It's like kind of breaking new ground on every song. So
right.
That's sort of what you can expect as a listener. And I don't even know what that sounds like for most of the songs. You know, it's still really, I'm figuring it out as I go every day. So,
right. Like I said, with the last couple of singles that you've released so far, working with Micah Martin, working with, you know, Craig Mabbitt, Young Medicine, I feel like you showcased a lot of different aspects of your style. And again, I feel like this is just a taste of what we're going to get on the upcoming album, but we're not quite scratching the surface of everything. And I'm really excited to hear what that album is going to bring to the table for you as an artist. But now that you're talking about breaking new ground, you know, for yourself as an artist, what do you feel this cycle of your life being with Fixed and stuff like that? How do you feel this has helped you grow as an artist at this point in time in your career?
It doesn't allow me to be complacent or in any kind of like artistic comfort zone. So it's like the ultimate kind of vehicle for artistic growth and personal growth, because every time I make a song, it's like I'm not even allowed to use any of my like classic tricks. It has to be something new. I am constantly doing things I've never done before in 10 years of producing, and like I'll probably 80 songs at this point. Being in that kind of like environment day in and day out, because I work on music every single day no matter what. I mean, it's super difficult and stressful and frustrating sometimes, but that's obviously also where all the juice is as far as growing as a person and an artist. It's crazy too, even listening to like Burn, the song with Craig, that was kind of like the first time that I had ever done that. And we kind of joke around internally because we're like, oh my God, it's like this huge collaboration. And it's like, I don't even know if I can do this. Like, and even now listening to that, like I've gotten so much better at making this kind of stuff since I made that song. I'm like, I want to go back and like remix and like do a bunch of different stuff on that song. Cause I'm like, this is a huge band. I wish I saved that one for a little bit later in the cycle or something like that. But yeah, it's like constantly challenging yourself and not allowing yourself to get comfortable is sort of how it yields that growth, you know?
No, I agree. I feel like you're going to continue to crush it within the electronic and the rock scene. You're already doing that now. And like I said, I feel like we've barely even touch the surface of what you can do as an artist. And I'm really excited to see what the new album is going to bring and what your future looks like as an artist, because what you're doing is very different and it's very exciting. And I'm hoping to see more from you in the future.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm super stoked too. Fix is awesome. They're unlike any other label I've worked with, and I've worked with like more than 20 at this point. I think it's going to be really cool. It's definitely not something that you hear and see every day. So at least we can say that it's unique. It's going to be a long process. Like, I think that maybe this time next year it'll be done. So we'll be rolling out stuff gradually, and there's lots of cool other types of media and merch and all that kind of stuff that are going to push the story and universe forward as well. So yeah, this whole rest of this year is going to be really awesome. I'm excited.
I'm excited for you. So I want to thank everybody for listening to this episode. I want to thank James, aka High Society, for coming onto this episode. Super great discussion about you as an artist, tapping into the singles and your album. And thank you for coming onto the show. Always great to hear about artists and where they came from and where they are now. So whether you're subscribed to the YouTube channel or you're listening to this on other streaming locations, I appreciate it. So take care.
Thank you.